Good morning, everybody. I hope you're well. Praise God. Heavenly Father, we thank you for another day in you. Every day that we get is a day from you, a day of your purpose, a day of destiny, a day of value, a day of promise, a day of victory. That yesterday, what we prayed for, part of it is coming true today. Every day there's an increase in your predetermined actions and purposes and will. And we thank you, Lord, that we can walk in that. We don't walk in a future destiny, we walk in present destiny. What was yesterday's hope is today's reality. And every day is like that, God. We thank you for that. We are so blessed. We thank you for today. We thank you that you will reveal things to our hearts, that you are preparing us to become a royal priesthood that will rule in prayer. We are living in a time when prayer is more important than we have ever known. And so we look for you today to speak to us from your word, by your spirit, and change us. Amen and amen. Could we turn to Matthew chapter 6? We're going to look at a familiar scripture about what is called the Lord's Prayer or a model prayer. Because there's a few things in here that God is after. He is going to put his spiritual finger on and reveal to you and to me. So, beginning with verse 9. Oh, before I get into that, let me just say something that is really remarkable. Do you know that Jesus never taught his disciples how to preach or even how to teach? But he did teach them how to pray. Is there something in there? Do you know that because you learn how to pray more effectively, you will be a good teacher and preacher? Because prayer activates everything. Prayer activates everything because Christ fulfills that prayer in us. He becomes the answer. Praise God. Okay. Verse 9, in this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. First thing we need to know about prayer is that we're addressing God as our Father, not as some distant entity, some ethereal being without life, just kind of like floating through the atmosphere. We are talking about God our Father. Right now, there's a move against God as Father. They're calling God Mother. Oh, yeah. Why? They want to destroy the patriarchal lineage of God. Isn't that something? But God is your Father. This is the most intimate thing you can imagine. That's why the Holy Spirit has been sent into our lives, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Abba, Father. Abba, Father. Daddy, Father. Hallelujah. So, let me go on. Your kingdom come, and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Let me stop again. When God asks us to pray for his kingdom come, and for all the other promises that he has ever given, he is not asking you to pray hard to get him to move. He's only asking you to agree with him. Now, I want you to think hard about that. Prayer is agreement with God's will, because that's the next verse. Your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. We come into agreement with God in prayer, not forcing him to do something that he's reluctant to do. He wants his kingdom here. All he wants is for you and me to agree with him. Do we agree with him? Yes. That's what he wants, just simple agreement. Give us this day. Let your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. This is the simplicity of our lives. Walking in his absolute will. Nothing better. It's easy. If we do that, he will give everything we need for life. All of our daily needs. It says bread, but bread is a composite of everything. He's not saying, well, I'll give you bread, but I won't give you clothes. I'll give you bread, but I won't give you a house. I'll give you bread, but I won't give you money. No, bread expresses everything. He provides everything because he is our Father. And now here's where he wants to take us today. There's a couple of things here. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. We run over this particular scripture pretty good. But what is debts? What are the debts that we owe? They are accumulated relational failures. Accumulated relational failures. All of our failures to fulfill the holy law of love with one another and with God. All of our failures. Relational failures. We owe each other nothing but love. And when we are not fulfilling the law of love, we are guilty of relational failures, accumulated ones. All the little ways that we have missed caring for one another, expressing our love, thinking about each other, coming to one another's aid, interceding for each other, praying for each other, operating. The reason the gifts of the Spirit operate is because you love the body. They don't operate for your benefit or for your display. They operate because you love others. So we have an accumulated debt. Now, on the other side of that, are those many times when we look at others and say, you failed me. You did not supply what I needed. You didn't care for me. You passed me by. You ignored me. I wasn't valuable in your eyes. We have to forgive them. Because as we forgive them, we are also forgiven for our failures, our accumulated relational failures. In marriage, with couples, as husbands and wives, as mothers, as fathers, as brothers and sisters, and members of the body of Christ, we have failed, and we need to ask God to forgive us. I'm going to stop right now. There's no point in teaching if we don't practice. Think about this. Holy Spirit, help us. Even if all we can remember is just one relational failure, we could start with that. How selfish we've been, dishonoring to one another, self-centered, pride, all about me. Lord, we ask you to forgive us for every relational failure we can think of and those that we can't. And as you bring them to our minds, our memories, we will be quick to say, oh God, thank you for reminding me of that. Forgive me. And I forgive those who have offended me, used me, abused me, been deceitful with me, dishonorable, left me alone, ignored me, rejected me, did not supply my need when they were able to. All of those things. God, I forgive them. And you know why we have to forgive? Because this is part of the cleansing of our priesthood ministry. We cannot go before God with this stuff in our hearts. We cannot rule in prayer, reign in prayer. God is saying, no, no, no. I want you to be a holy nation. Holy. Following that, and do not lead us into temptation. Now, the translators, of course, were right in translating the word there as temptation, because that word is a big word in the Greek. It embraces a lot. But one of the meanings that is very important is that that word means, Lord, do not lead us into adverse situations. Adversity. Because God is our Father. He does not. How many times have you, as fathers and mothers, said to your kids, don't go there? I don't want you to go there. It'll hurt you. Don't do that. Our Heavenly Father is saying, I do not want you to go into adverse things and places with people that you shouldn't be with. Don't you dare go there, please. But the continuation of that, because it's all one thought, is deliver us from the evil one who wants to do harm to you. There is nothing in his agenda but harm for you. He wants you to have accidents, failures, disappointments. He wants you to fall into sin. And so therefore we can say, God, deliver us from the evil one. Thank you for keeping us from adversity and for delivering us. If we don't pray this every day, I want you to know the enemy is busy every day trying to bring evil upon you. Some form of evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. All right. Now the Holy Spirit put his finger on these things. But not just these things. He's got something else he wants to touch today. So we're going to go over to Luke chapter 11. I don't think I've given us all enough time to consider the relational failures of our lives. Oh my God, the body of Christ has hurt itself so many times. The world has never hurt me like I've been hurt by the body of Christ, nor have I hurt members of the body of Christ more than I've ever hurt people in the world. And that's the truth. Our failures to be relationally righteous have been the downfall of the church. Its weakness, its divisions, its selfishness. God help us. All right, Luke 11. Here's a different account of the same prayer. And it came to pass, as Jesus was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples. So now he begins to pray. The same prayer is recorded here. Except when you get to verse 4, the record is, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive everyone who is indebted to us. Now, the word sin is different from the word debt. The Holy Spirit recorded in Matthew the word debt as relational failures, but the word sin is a different word. It is failure to hit the mark with God. It is mostly character failure. Not just commission sins, which are definitely included, but character failure, because character failure produces other sins. And so as I was looking at this and asking the Holy Spirit to amplify what he wanted, he spoke one word to me, and he said this. He said dishonesty. I said, what? He said dishonesty. There's too much dishonesty in my people. Dishonest, not truthful, deceptive, scheming, cunning, missing what truth really is, avoiding responsibility, acting hypocritically. That's dishonesty. Pretending to be one thing when you're really not. Take time right now. I know we all think we're pretty close to being perfect. Maybe just a little bit below, but in reality, we've got a few more things to clean up. Now I'm going to put this on you because the Holy Spirit put it on me, that he stay on top of you over this subject. because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Truth is honesty. Untruth, shades of truth, etc., are dishonest. God help us right now. We are in a time when, if we want revival to come, God's going to do a cleaning of the house, our personal house, in preparation for a deeper relationship and a more manifest presence with Him. That's what you want. That's what you're crying for. I know that on the surface of revival, we're looking for massive changes, sweeping moves of God upon the earthlings, the pagans, and the evil people who wish harm upon Christ's people. We want to see all that. We want to see the church glorious. And God is saying, I want to get to the heart of the matter, that Christ be formed in you, and He cannot be formed with that junk. It has to go. Okay? That's what He's after. And the more the house is clean, the more the presence of the Lord. Simple as that. The more the presence of the Lord, the more manifest presence will be on society. The more we're saturated with His presence, the more society is saturated with God. Okay. I'm going to give you a little time here. We have two things to consider this morning. Heavenly Father, we come before You and we're honest that we have failed in relationships with one another. We ask You to forgive us. First of all, we forgive those who have harmed us, who have failed in their, let's call it, duty to be loving to us. Lord, we forgive them, even as You have forgiven us. But Lord, forgive us, for we have failed too. And where it's required, where You move on us, we will make amends. Restitution, we will go to those people and communicate that we have missed it with them and we're sorry. And now, God, we ask You to forgive us for being dishonest, deceptive, scheming, sly, cunning, off the mark, pretending, hypocritical, devising ways of making people think something about us that isn't true. Why we do all these things is because the enemy is like that. And we were once like that, but we should no more be like that. We want truth to prevail in us, honesty, honesty, being honest with one another. No more lies, pretenses. Clean us, God. Amen. Let's go to 1 Peter 2 and verse 9. Where am I here? There you be. We were singing this morning about the reality that we are a chosen generation, and that is the absolute truth. We were born for such a time as this, and we cannot escape such a time as this. We are already predetermined by God to fulfill certain roles, let's call them that, identical purposes that God intended for us to fulfill. And one is that He spoke from the Old Testament even to the New Testament, and that is that He has called us to be a royal priesthood, a holy nation. That boils down to two things, that we are both priests before God and kings before the world. And the priority is simple. We cannot be effective as kings ruling with Christ until we are first effective as priests standing for the Father. As royal priesthood, a holy priesthood, we stand before the Father to intercede and to pray. The one thing that a priest did was to stand there before God, in the presence of God, and ask for the people and ask for the will of God to be done. And as priests, that's what we do. And as priests, we are in a holy nation, a kingdom of priests. That means that our priesthood belongs to God's kingdom, which is here on the face of the earth, in which we are in which is in us. We are both in the kingdom of God, and the kingdom reigns in us and through us. And its first and foremost way of reigning through us, as we intercede and ask God for his will to be done, he then releases himself and his power in us as kings to express that. Psalm 110 and verse 2. Let's go to that quick and look at this. Psalm 110. Verse 1 begins with, "The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool." That's God speaking, the Father speaking to the Son. Second, "Then the Lord shall send the rod of your strength out of Zion, and you will rule in the midst of your enemies." As I taught last week, and I remind you again, Zion is a euphemism for the body of Christ. So we are the Zion of God, and God rules in us and through us in the midst of his enemies. And the rod of the Lord, which speaks of his kingly reign, is expressed through power. Not only do our prayers go up, but they come back out as answers, like holy weapons, affecting men and women on the face of this earth. And when we operate as that, as kings, we are expressing God's will here on the face of the earth. Now we're going to go to another scripture, 1 Timothy chapter 2. The case that we want to make here is for you to see that we rule with prayer. And of course, not just prayer, but predominantly prayer. And if we don't get this first thing right, we're not going to get the rest of the things right. God has called us to be a house of prayer, all of his people. If we do not learn how to pray more effectively, we will never see more effectiveness in our lives. We will not see more of the kingdom. You cannot sing it into existence. You have to first pray it into existence. I hope you hear me. Prayer is the most difficult thing to do. It was the most important thing that Jesus did. They found him praying all the time. He went up into the mountains and he would spend the whole night in prayer. And when he would come down in the power of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit power is activated in prayer. When Paul was writing to Timothy, the world was in an upheaval, just like it is today. Rome was messing around with Jerusalem. The Jews were fighting with each other. There were all kinds of divisions and schisms and warfare and nonsense, and there were alien countries that wanted to come in. It was a mess of a time. So Paul says to him in 1 Timothy chapter 2, "Therefore, I exhort, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, and in verse 2 particular, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth." All right, let's break that down. Two things that stand out in prayer. I'll get back to the men that we pray for. The two things that God is looking for, he says, without prayer, you're not going to have any peace. Your lifestyle is going to be turbulent, more turbulent than necessary. Second, because there is a peaceful environment that you create through prayer, there's a facilitation of the gospel to go out to all men. Because the second thing God is interested in here, not necessarily in secondary importance, but in primary importance, is the salvation of men and women. Now I'm going to go back and talk to you about authority. First of all, that word authority, again, as I taught last week, means prominent situations and positions. Every place of prominent influence that exerts influence over you and me and mankind is an authority that God wants to pray for. We can start with the White House, the presidency, the legislator, the judicial, all the agencies, all the boards, all the state governments, all the boards, all the agencies, right on down to the educational system, the unions, the media. It goes on and on and on. All kinds of people are in authority. They're telling you what to do and what not to do. And you must get in line. And we have experienced this in spades in the last 3.5 years with the mandates about the COVID virus. You can do this and you can't do that. And people are still feeling the effects of it. And the whole idea behind the evil that is behind mankind, because principalities and powers rule in the heavens, influencing people on the earth through demonic powers, encouraging them to do the wrong thing. Now, have you ever heard of the trickle-down theory? Trickle-down? What starts at the top comes down to the bottom? We're living in that. When wrong government is in power, the effect of it is right on down to the littlest, lowest, smallest person. But when righteousness prevails, then the effect of righteousness in the nation affects the littlest person too. And right now, we are living in this in spades. Everywhere you turn, there's new promulgations, new laws, and they're not favorable to Christians. They look like they're just opposed to people in general, but behind that is an evil person who wants to get at God's children and clamp you down, regulate your speech, your ability to share the gospel. But when goodness prevails and the land is in peace, the gospel can be spread easily. It isn't just through persecution that the gospel is spread. I remember when the outpouring of the Holy Spirit took place during the charismatic renewal, that it was peaceful times and the gospel flowed through this nation, saving millions. Right now, the belief in God has shrunk from 80% to 40%. Christians are leaving churches, they're abandoning faithful relationships right and left. And somebody told me there's about a church a week closing in the United States. I know a pastor suffering. The congregations have diminished so much, they should be prospering. You should be prospering more. James said, you haven't because you ask not. When you ask, you have. If you don't ask, you don't get. That's the simplicity of prayer. And we're in that situation today. So, hallelujah. What kind of people does God want in power? Well, how is it we are to pray for these authorities? I'm not touching on all men yet, because that scripture includes all men. But here we're going to deal just with authorities, those who have power to influence your lives. And there are some people who, that's all they want, is power. They don't care how it affects, they just want to be in power. So what kind of people do we need in power, in authority, in prominence? There are two scriptures we're going to work together with. The first is 2 Samuel 23. Just a couple of verses. These are David's last words, 23 and verse 3. The God of Israel said, the rock of Israel spoke to me and said, he who rules, who has authority, who has prominence over men must be just or righteous, ruling in the fear of God. Two things. A righteous person. Do you know that there are people who are not saved who do the right thing? Do you know that? They don't all have to be saved to do the right thing. There's a conscience that God has given all men to do the right thing. And the second part, because there's going to be five parts to this, the second part is they have a reverence for God, an awe, a respect. Call it fear. They appreciate and know that there is a God. And the Old Testament rulers who were not part of Israel recognized that there was a God who ruled in the affairs of men. So those are the first two things, a righteous heart and a respect and awe and fear of God. Second scripture we go to is Deuteronomy 16. Verses 18 through 20. Now, this is God's directions to Israel as they're going into the promised land. And he's telling them, this is how you're going to set up the whole economy. Everything that's going to take place, how you're going to be governed and function as a society. So he says in verse 18, you shall appoint judges and officers in all your gates, which the Lord your God gives you according to your tribes, and they shall judge the people with just judgment. There's righteousness again. There's a justice. Then he goes on to say, they shall not pervert justice. They shall not show partiality. They shall not take a bribe. When it says here, pervert justice, it means bend the laws. Bend, twist the laws to suit their own desires. This happens in government all the time. Men and women bend the law to their desire. That's why you have so many struggles. Second, they don't take bribes. Bribes pervert thinking. They influence the person in authority the wrong way. And finally, there is no favoritism with people. Those five things we can pray for. All right? We can pray for those things. We can pray that God move on the hearts of every person in the places of prominence, that these things take place. Why? So we can live a peaceful life and the gospel can be shared. Men can be saved. If, and I speak this without a desire for this to happen, but this is what is the truth. If men and women in prominent places that you pray for and the Spirit of God moves on them and they do not change, they can be removed. God sets up one king and he takes down another. And he will do it through prayer. If you can't have righteous leaders, you can have them removed. God rules in the midst of his enemies, and he uses you and me to do it through our prayers. History has been shaped by prayer and fasting. Not that it was a different destiny than what God intended. It was the intended destiny of God that God had come to pass through the prayers and fastings of his children. Derek Prince, who was a spiritual mentor to us, a father really, recalls when he was a pastor back in England, this was in the early years of the 50s, that Joseph Stalin came to prominence. I know I'm talking to people who probably don't even know the name Joseph Stalin. I hope. Joseph Stalin was a cruel ruler of Soviet Russia. He was an atheist. And he determined publicly that he was going to purge the entire nation of all the Jews. This is the second time in that past century that there was an attempt to eliminate Jews. First, it was through Hitler. Then, a few years later, 1956 or so, that Stalin rose up and wanted to do it again. So Derek Prince was a pastor, and he and a few other small churches in England, just a small group, started to pray that God would deliver the Jews in Russia. And they prayed earnestly, and they fasted earnestly. And he recorded the date that they started to pray. This was 1956. 2 weeks after they started to pray, suddenly, without any notice, Joseph Stalin died. And Khrushchev became the next ruler or prime minister, whatever. And the Jews were saved. And not only that, Stalin had one daughter. She had been raised as an atheist, and she came to Christ. Isn't that something? History is shaped by our prayers. The Old Testament is full of that. We often talk about Esther, born at the time that the Jews were in peril. But she's not the only one. There have been saints of God praying through the centuries, and we are now in a position to do the same thing. But God has to get a hold of our hearts to do this. Because we're not accustomed to doing things like this. We'd rather have powerful spiritual demonstrations, which will come, but they generally come after the prayers. You with me? We want to see sweeping moves of God, but they come after the prayers, not before. We want to see changes in our lives with people around. It will come. We want to see this nation, which is sinking. How many of you are aware of what's going on in this nation? Raise your hand if you know the conditions of this nation are not good. They're not good. Never has there been a time when we have seen so much wrongdoing. Governmental influences in all facets of life, like I just said, people in places of prominence. And society is paying the price for it. We who are the salt of the earth, the light of the world, are the difference makers. We who are the kings and priests of God are the difference makers. Little o you and little o me. Why? Because we have a big old God. And all he wants is little o you and little o me to come into agreement with him. Because it is his will that there be good government, that nations be saved, that the church flourish, that men are saved. That is his will. That is the kingdom. And that's how it's going to work. I have something for you that I shared last week. I hope I've still got them here in my case. I think so. Remember I passed out to congregations these little prayers that I had made up last week? A lot of you were not here, so I want to distribute them again, okay? Stan, could you help on this side? And Joe, thank you. I'm sorry for the, they're not very good little handouts because Bob and Bobby have been on vacation and they normally create these really nice little cards and things, you know? So I did this on my own and that's why you're suffering. One of the questions that come to our mind is, well, how long do we pray? We pray once. There are some people who teach, all you have to do is pray once. How has that worked for you? Let me know. Yeah, believe in faith, bless God. Just pray one time, that's enough. Oh, okay. Why did Daniel pray 21 days? Come on, here's the deal. We pray, what is the word? Until. The old saints of Pentecost used to talk about breakthroughs. You pray until you have a breakthrough, which is that moment when the Holy Spirit says, that's it, you got it, heaven is going to move. Or until you see heaven move. So, house of prayer, priests of God, kings of the Lord, we're going to pray this every week when we come. Every week. Until we learn, because we have to learn to pray. The disciples went to Jesus and they said, teach us to pray. Well, he'd had a lot of things to talk about concerning prayer. And One of the hardest things, as I said, that we ever do is pray, except when we have a need. But as a ruling prayer, as an influential prayer, as a prayer of the will of God, not just for me and my three, but for God's purposes and his people and even the lost. Now we're in the business of God. You agree there? Okay, now here we go. Here's something else. I need you to know this. Do not think of your past failures. Please, don't think of all the times that prayer wasn't answered. Think about the time now that God is going to answer because you're in his will. It is his will to save people and nations and for his people to prosper and promulgate the gospel. That's his will. If it's his will, we can be in agreement with him. Not him in agreement with us. We're not begging him to do something. He's begging us to agree with him. That's all there is to it. Come on, kids, get in agreement and you'll see me move. Amen. All right. Let's pray this prayer together. And when we come to this one spot where I have a parenthesis, list them, we'll stop and think about that. Ready? One, two, three. Father, we honor you in Jesus' name and desire that your kingdom come and come. We praise our Lord Jesus, who is King of kings, Lord of lords, and desires that all men be saved. We pray in his name for all in authority, prominence. All right, at this point, let's just stop and you think and mention to the Father from the top down, from our national government right on down to the smallest, littlest agency, board of government, whatever, that affects our lives. So let's take however long, 5 minutes if it takes, to mention them all to the Lord. Lord, our prayer extends. Thank you, sister. We can agree with that. A lot of us have had anger towards authorities for their unrighteous decisions and influence upon others, especially when they have influenced children. Oh, God, our hearts ache. We pray for those who are influential in the media, in sports and entertainment, in education, and the unions and the heads of unions in education. We pray even for those who are in the military and in the police who watch over and are to protect us, that there be righteousness there as well, God. And every other agency, it could be planning and zoning or the health board. There are so many places where prominence is exercised. God, let it always be done in righteousness. Flood this nation with our prayers to touch these people. We are serious. We believe we are touching your heart. This is your agreement, your desire for us. All right, let's pick up the prayer. That we live quiet, peaceful, godly lives in all honesty and integrity. We ask that Holy Spirit move upon authorities who have rule, that they rule righteously, morally, and ethically, and in the fear of God. Further, that they be kept from bending laws, favoring certain people, and taking bribes. We pray that this establishes an environment that facilitates the spread of the knowledge of the one true God and Jesus, the mediator between God and man. Amen. Now, God, speak to our hearts that when we do your will, we are in your will and you will answer. Confirm it to our hearts that we are doing the right thing and that we will continue to do this without fail, that we will see the results, that your heart will be glad, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen and amen. Two things before we conclude this morning. I want to tell you about Pastor Gary Baldelli, who most of you know is has been in a wheelchair, paralyzed for over 35 years. And he has had a struggle for life, period, because living in that condition just is hard on every part of his body. All of his systems struggle. And recently, he experienced some, you'll call it brain fog, where he doesn't know where he is, and he couldn't remember what day it was, and he had trouble with his limited motor skills. He couldn't get his hands up to feed himself. And so his wife, Carrie, took him to the hospital, and they did an MRI and discovered that he had a brain bleed, but that behind the brain was a mass. And while they could not see completely because of the amount of blood there was, they are highly suspicious that it's cancer. And can you imagine, not only has he been in this condition all these years, now this. So we want to see God raise him up. Would you pray in your own way and with your own heart how God can heal Gary Baldelli right now? Lift him before the Father in Jesus' name. Thank you, God. God. God, you have made the righteous to go upright. Raise Gary Baldelli up. And comfort carry his wife right now with assurance in Jesus' name. Beloved, one other thing. We need to pray for Hawaii and for the devastation out there with the wildfires that have practically destroyed one whole town. It may never be inhabitable again. It's been just incredible. So, Father, we lift up the whole state of Hawaii because they're all suffering. People lost their homes. They lost everything, God. We just ask you, God, to facilitate the recovery of that state. Have mercy, yes, God. I can't imagine what it would be like to see everything you owned swept away by a fast-moving fire. Oh, God. Rebuild the lives of those people. Help them. Give them back homes, possessions, dwellings. Amen. Okay, saints. That's it for this morning. Father, we thank you. We pray that we have heard you accurately and that you will respond in our lives as we desperately need you to move on us and in us. In Jesus' name, we thank you. Amen.